Which Marvel character is most ready for summer? Thanos. Boom. We are all inevitable. That's a great joke. And talking about summer, guys, Detox Season 4 announced May 22nd. Summer season. It's going to be great. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Detox. Hope y'all are having an amazing day. I am doing great because it's time to talk about some Marvel. We have Everything MCU episode number 16. Guys, this Marvel one is the best series on the show. And it's kind of popping off. It is getting me lots of listens. It's like, I'm checking my phone really quick. Anchor FM app, my sponsor. We're getting like averaging about 20-ish listens an episode within the first like week and a half, which is actually really good. Let me check this really quick. Never mind, it's not loading. Anyway, thank you, Everything MCU squad. We're growing. It's awesome. It's really cool to see all the listens and stuff. And we have missed out a little bit. You know, we took a tiny break from the series once WandaVision wrapped up. But now we have another show. We got Falcon and the Winter Soldier on Disney Plus. Episodes 1 and 2 have already dropped. We're going to kind of break down. We're going to talk about them. So in this episode, yeah, we're going to do a Falcon and the Winter Soldier episode 1 and 2 breakdown. We're doing a Falcon and the Winter Soldier versus WandaVision episodes 1 and 2 battle. Then we're doing my own little segment about the Darkhold's future in the MCU. We'll get into that later if you don't know what the Darkhold is. Then we're ending it off with a Marvel.com article. That is an intel report on Falcon and the Winter Soldier episode 2. And I didn't read it, but skimmed through it. Looks pretty cool. So we're just going to kind of go through that to wrap it up. And it's going to be a great day. All right, guys. But before we do that, we got some Detox news. So I know it's still March, but it is soon going to be April. And, you know, we got to announce the new dates for the live stream. So this month of April, the two dates of the live stream are April 10th and April 24th. They're two Saturdays. And I'm going to be going live on Podbean. Both of those days at 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Okay, so wherever that resonates to you, like 6 or whatever you are, it's 4 p.m. Mountain Time, so try to plan that out. The streams in March were okay. They could be a little better, I'm not going to lie. But I'm doing a new kind of style of the show right now. Now instead of doing an outro, I'm splitting up the outro, what I say in the outro in like different segments so you guys don't miss it, because I don't know if you know, I do live streams anyway. But yeah. And also, guys, March is almost over, which means April 1st. It's the best day of the year. It's April Fool's on Thursday. And you know, we have a series all about pranks. It's Imagine Up. Guys, on April 1st, Thursday, I am doing a special April Fool's Prank Academy. It's going to be the best one yet. And it's how I didn't even realize this until I'm recording this, but episode 10 of Prank Academy is going to be the April Fool's Day special. That's amazing. That's so good. All right. Well, let's get into the Falcon and the Winter Soldier episodes 1 and 2 breakdown. Quick little break. I gotta get water, okay? Staying hydrated, jeez. But if you want to catch me live about twice a month on Podbean, it's the second link in the description of this episode, and it should send you to a live countdown right up until I'm on air. Stay tuned to the end of the episode for this month's live stream dates. Don't forget to be awesome. See what I mean? There's a break, and now it's getting to the segment. So, thanks for not going about the break. I don't know what I'm going to put in there. Maybe the live stream one, maybe the website. I don't know. But you know I don't, because I'm recording this later. Anyway, not the point. Guys, we're doing Falcon the Winter Soldier Season 1, Episode 1, and Season 1, Episode 2, Breakdown. And guys, you already know, I get a lot of inspiration from a YouTube channel called New Rockstars. Their theories about Marvel, and they do even more than Marvel if you like DC or the Godzilla vs. Kong movie is coming out. They're doing like breakdowns for that. They're awesome, and they're staying really up to date with their Falcon and the Winter Soldier stuff. So yeah, kind of got a lot of stuff from that and stuff like that. All right, so here you go. Let's get it started. Episode 1, it's titled New World Order. Okay, and just kind of overall thoughts on the episode. That I really liked kind of the action and just stepping up, kind of like, they're using like a zoom camera, and just the action, it just feels more raw. It feels much better than past, but it's also really slow after the action is done at the beginning. It's still with episodes 1 and 2. It just gets really slow at the end. But anyway, so the first thing that you might have missed. So the shield that Sam technically gives away is it's not the Captain America shield. That's not the one that he used in World War II and in Infinity War. Well, he didn't really use it in Infinity War, but if you remember, in Avengers Endgame, Thanos broke the shield, right? So that has to be a brand new one. And there's some theories going around that shield isn't necessarily vibranium, that it's some different like metal. What was the name? I can't really remember the name, but it's, yeah. So just keep in mind that's it's not the same shield because it broke. All right. And I feel like everywhere I look, it's not really saying this, but it's crazy kind of how, like, the feel for me, how similar episode 1 was of Falcon and Winter Soldier to kind of the beginning action sequence of Captain America the Winter Soldier, when, like, kind of they have to infiltrate this ship and save the hostages. And, like, it's the same villain, it's Batroc. And that was a pretty good action sequence with Sam flying around the desert. And it's actually, I think it was around the border of Lithuania, I think, was the country they said. But anyway, so after Sam takes down Batroc, you know, saves the hostage, they find out about the main antagonist of the story, these Flag Smashers. Okay, and what the Flag Smashers do is they thought it was a better world during the blip, which on our point of view, it was not. And how they kind of believe in a world without borders. That I think they're saying is like one world, one people, I'm pretty sure is what they said in episode 2 a lot. But anyway, so they kind of, Sam and the private talk about that, called the Flag Smashers. And this next part is kind of weird. It's a little weird to think about. But so the private, what is his name? Hold on. It's right here. Let me see really quick. Hold on. Government appointed missions. Oh, Torres? Joaquin Torres? Torres? Whatever. He was saying how there are a bunch of conspiracy theories online about where Steve Rogers is. And he actually said one about if he's on a moon. If he's in a house on the moon looking down on the earth. And obviously, your first thought is, you silly person, that's impossible. It's not impossible. Okay, we have learned from the end of, or from trailers of Falcon and the Winter Soldier and the end of WandaVision that the Skrulls are coming. And they live in space. We know that, a little fuzzy, but I'm pretty sure Nick Fury is in space right now. And, you know, Monica Rambeau might be up there from WandaVision. And they think they're all on the moon, and Secret Invasion of the Skrulls is coming. So yes, it's dumb. Okay, Steve Rogers might be living. Obviously he's living his life, but I think the old Steve Rogers, might be doing something. But it's there are people in space and on the moon. Okay, so just keep that in mind. All right. After that, we kind of go over to Bucky Barnes' side of the story. And we see he has a very beautifully done dream. Kind of they bring back the old, like, screams of the Winter Soldier. And I feel like they use a little bit in Civil War. But that kind of, like, scream soundtrack, it's so, like, oh, it just grabs you. So they kind of bringing that back is he has a dream about, apparently he still remembers everybody that he killed as in a brainwashed assassin for Hydra. But then he kind of goes to therapy, which it was, I kept trying to kind of figure out how they kept using that exact same shot in therapy. It was like right above like their left forehead and it was just angled down on them. And what kind of new rock stars would have kind of found out is that it feels like, it feels like you're like trapped in a tight box and it's like swallowing you, and they really made you feel that. So I mean, they're kind of like the usage of shots and the action, I think it's really stepping up from here. But then Bucky kind of has to lie to her, kind of, but then she just uncovers it, and Bucky has a notebook of names where like he where he like crosses off because I think he's trying to make like himself feel better. So he goes to fix all the problems he's had with. And some of the names, they feel like they couldn't make a big impact, but one of them was H. Zemo, which is Helmet Zemo, which was the main antagonist or the bad guy in Captain America Civil War, which is going to be in the show and episode 3 on Friday, which is in a couple days. So I think maybe like as Bucky is fighting with Sam and they're trying to take down the Flag Smashers, he could also be trying to like fix his problems with Zemo and just like, I don't know if it's apologize, but do whatever he needs to do to make himself feel good. They got lunch with the old man when he finds out that he killed his son. It's a good time. Sam visits his family. There's the burglary, which was a very good scene. And then, in the end, Sam decides not to tell a soldier about the Flag Smashers, okay? So this is a part very towards the end where they're kind of on a call in his room and he has a computer open and he's watching a video, but he's on like a phone call with a guy, and you can tell Sam thinks of something, but he doesn't tell the soldier what it is. So, and I think from the footage, it crossed his mind that like brute force was very similar to Captain America and what like Steve Rogers used. So I think like he was thinking that they're super soldiers, or since they're crazy, they're all in Wanda's hex. It's not. And then John Walker comes and it ends on that. I think that was a great way to end the episode. It kind of like, it really set up for the next one. And so did episode 2. It's kind of like, if you ever read any Suzanne Collins books, right? She wrote The Hunger Games, right? Hold on. Sorry, I'm searching up who wrote the... Okay, it is Suzanne Collins. Perfect. I was searching up who wrote The Hunger Games. So kind of this author does a really smart thing where she kind of like writes long chapters and holds you in and then does like a plot twist at the end of the chapter. So you have to read the next one. You have to flip the next page. So I think they're kind of doing this show almost the same way with like doing something that will change the story at the end of the episode to where you have to stay for next Friday to watch the next one. So yeah, so I think they did that with John Walker. I am so glad I have water. Throat gets so dry when I talk so much. All right, let's move on to episode 2. So this one is called The Star Spangled Man, and this one has a lot more John Walker in it. And it actually opens up with a scene of him in the locker room and Lamar Hoskins. I'm almost positive his name is Lamar Hoskins. Yeah, Lamar, perfect. All right, his name is Lamar Hoskins. And kind of that's his friend, and people are comforting him, and he's saying how, like, everybody expects him to do something, which you kind of start to feel for him. And, you know, again, it introduces Lamar Hoskins, where we'll later know him as Battlestar, or the new Captain America sidekick. And, you know, he comes out, gets a shield, all that stuff, does the interview for Good Morning America, where he says, like, good morning, America. I can't even say it, but I have a very manly voice. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff with John Walker in it until kind of randomly, wish they had a little bit more backstory, but Bucky meets up with Sam. Okay, so they're finally together. Then there's whole the big three thing, which was kind of funny, but it just, comedy feels a little forced right now. Like, it's funny, but it's a little, like, bickering. It's a little annoying, but anyway. And then, you know, Bucky says, you know what, fine, I'll go on the mission. And the mission was to spy on the Flag Smashers, or just kind of get intel, see what their operation is. And they go to find them packing up a truck, and then they kind of leave, and they gotta go do the big fight with them when John Walker comes. And yeah, it was pretty epic when he like fell out of, or when he jumped out of the helicopter onto the truck. I think that was pretty cool. All right, well, now there's kind of a lot to talk in after that. You like, no, that's later on where he gets rested. But then, kind of as they're walking down the street, Sam and Bucky tell John Walker and Lamar Hoskins that the Flag Smashers are probably super soldiers. And there's a lot of speculations and theories to how all these Flag Smashers are super soldiers, but one of them that is the most probable is about Thunderbolt Ross. And he was in Captain America Civil War, and he was kind of the one at the beginning-ish that introduced the Sokovia Accords, and he was also in Hulk way back when, and he was kind of portrayed as an antagonist, but more on the good side, I guess. But so he has always wanted to kind of dip his toe and do something with that super soldier serum. So I think he has to be somewhere along this. And his name was also in the credits. There's a lot to dive in with the credits. There's like a bunch of stuff. And his name was brought up in something in that. It didn't make a big difference, but it's still, hey, Marvel's acknowledging that it could be him. All right. So, and then we have Sam and Bucky. They go to visit the old super soldier in his house. And that has to make an impact later. I feel like they wouldn't do that for nothing. I think maybe like in a finale, he'll come out and like help them fight or something, like super soldier verse. But that has to make an impact. And then the whole thing, therapy, which I didn't know that missing a thing of therapy is like getting arrested. I feel like that's a little weird, but that's how it works. So they go to therapy, talk, blah, blah, blah. And kind of throughout this whole kind of the ending of the episode, you just see John Walker just like, it's kind of not a cool guy. It's kind of like annoying, thinks he's a little self-centered and... I mean, obviously, he's trying to do the best. Marvel at the beginning of episode 2, they're trying to make us like feel for him, and they did that at the beginning. But when the entire episode at the beginning is from John Walker's side, and then the rest of the episode is from Sam and Bucky's side, that you literally can like switch your entire opinion for the characters you get behind, and that's when you kind of like picture John Walker as just this annoying guy. Like, he sees get out of the picture. It's Sam and Bucky versus the Flag Smashers. And, but yeah. So then at the end, again, ends with a cliffhanger with Bucky saying, I gotta go talk to Zemo. To the Zemo. And they're gonna talk. And I think he is not going to be prisoned long, but we did learn that he is still in prison, which was a question going into the show. We were thinking if he wasn't, but he is. And I don't feel like Bucky would break him out, but. We've seen footage in the trailer with him out of prison, so we'll see how that plays out. But he's going to be in the next episode. I'm super excited for episode 3. Hopefully there's a lot more action, and just kind of it kicks off a little bit more. But after this upcoming Friday, after April 2nd on Friday, we're halfway done because Falcon and the Winter Soldier is only 6 episodes. So, yeah. All right. Well, it's a nice long segment. Now, let's talk about... Ooh, yeah. Gonna do the Falcon and the Winter Soldier versus WandaVision episodes 1 and 2 battle. Dun dun dun. Hey guys, sorry to interrupt today's amazing episode, but if you want to take, I don't know, maybe 2 minutes out of your day to visit the BTalks official website, then it'll be the top link of the description of this episode. But, you know, if you get lost, just look at the link closest to the words BTalks website. You got this. I believe in you. All right, let's get on with the show. All right. As you know, Marvel dipped its toe into something brand new this year, and they did their TV shows. They did WandaVision, which was amazing. They did Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Snow started off slow, but we have high expectations for the rest of the show, and it is totally gonna hit. But anyway, we are going to dissect and we are going to battle these two shows through episodes 1 and 2, okay? Falcon and the Winter Soldier are episodes New World Order and Star Spangled Man. Can't remember what WandaVision episodes 1 and 2 are, but anyway. All right, so, first of all, this might just be my opinion, but at the end of WandaVision, it was so, like, happy and action-packed and suspenseful that I think it set the bar really high for Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And don't get me wrong, I enjoyed the episodes, but they just got really slow at times, okay? And so episodes 1 and 2, I feel like, and I'm really hoping that this is the exact same scenario for WandaVision, that Falcon and the Winter Soldier episodes 1 and 2 are just like, the show's just gonna get better as it goes on. So, Falcon and the Winter Soldier episodes 1 and 2, they weren't the best. But then again, guys, if you think about it, what would you say out of the 9 episodes, what were the bottom of, like, the line? What do you think were the worst ones for WandaVision? For me, I would say, I didn't really enjoy the, the one where Agnes kind of controls Wanda or takes her through her past. I didn't super enjoy that one. But after that, I would probably say episodes 1 and 2, just because the series hadn't kickstarted. It didn't kind of get to it, you know? So I think it's going to be the same case. I think Falcon and the Winter Soldier are just going to get better and better from this point on, okay? All right. So, yeah, kind of same thing. Winter Soldier. Slow, but action at the beginning. And it's really good action. Right, here we go. So here's the breakdown, okay? All right, so I'm doing it into 4 categories, okay? Got mystery, action, comedy, and just Marvel in general. It's going to be a short segment. But so out of these 4, genres or topics, we're going to give them to each show. All right, here we go. So mystery, this one seems kind of unfair, but probably WandaVision. That made you think a lot. So many theories. So think about it. How many more theories came off WandaVision episodes 1 and 2 than Falcon and Winter Soldier episodes 1 and 2? Definitely WandaVision. All right, here we go. Next, action. Probably Falcon and the Winter Soldier. There's episodes 1 and 2 of WandaVision, they just weren't the most action. As you know, it definitely went on more and more as it showed on. All right, comedy. Here's the deal. You might be thinking that this one's hands down easy Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but I think the funniest episode, I think the Modern Family remake / The Office remake was hilarious. That was probably my favorite episode of the series, was the Modern Family one. So Falcon and the Winter Soldier comedy is kind of like bickering, but it's kind of funny because they're just kind of mad at each other in general. But then if you think about it, episode 2 of the talent show, that was hysterical to me. I think that was, like, amazing acting by Paul Bettany and everything. I think it was really good, so I decided to give it a split for comedy because, I mean, like, it's a sitcom, too. They have crowd laughing, which makes it even more funny. So I gave a split to comedy. And lastly, in the Marvel thing, I just mean, like, is it Marvel? That's a great description, actually. No. But, like, is it kind of, like, follow along? Will it make an impact in the Marvel universe? And the WandaVision didn't really change Marvel from beginning to the end of the show. Like, it just, because we didn't really see a lot of characters. It was just something that S.H.I.E.L.D. and S.W.O.R.D. had to deal with. Now we have Vision flying around. Okay, it made an impact, not a super big one. And the way Falcon and Winter Soldier is shaping up, that I think that one will make a very big impact. So I decided to give this one to Falcon and the Winter Soldier for Marvel, okay? So, once again, mystery to WandaVision, action to Falcon and the Winter Soldier, comedy, split in between, both were really funny, and Marvel in general, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So, if you tally that up, Falcon and the Winter Soldier wins, okay? And then again, WandaVision set super high expectations for the show, and I think it was really hard to match that, but if you do episodes 1 and 2, that kind of battle them out, Falcon and the Winter Soldier will come on top. All right, well, getting kind of towards the end here. Next on Everything MCU, we're going to talk about the Darkhold's future in the MCU. Stay tuned if you're confused or if you just want to hear me talk about Marvel. Announcement time. Do you like podcasts, The Office, and overall me? you know, then you'll absolutely love my second show I have with my sister about her favorite TV show, The Office, called the Dunder Mifflin Podcast. Guys, every Jim, Pam, Froggy 101, Twilight Loving podcast we see out there is an Office rewatch show, and we wanted to bring a new style of Office podcasts to the table. So instead of a rewatch show, my sister and I talk about intriguing topics of The Office that you've never heard before, such as best managers, craziest theories, what a season 10 would look like, and much, much more. Guys, the DMP is going like crazy, so hop on the train if you want to become cool, rich, and famous. Yeah, that's right. Third link if you want to listen to it. So yeah, I'll see you over there. All right. So before we get too far into this segment, I'll start off with saying, what is the Darkhold? So we're going to talk about the Darkhold's future in the MCU, okay? So the Darkhold, if you have seen WandaVision, this will make sense. If you have not seen WandaVision, this was just going to fly over your head. Anyway, so you know the book that Agnes the Witch was studying witchcraft out of. It was in, I think, the last three episodes, I would say. And it ended up after the show in the hands of Wanda. And at the end, you see her reading through it. And there's a lot to kind of dissect, literally in just the last second or two of WandaVision, and this is kind of what we're going to talk about. Okay, so that's the Darkhold. It's a book of sorcery and witchcraft, which, like, it's this book holds so much power, even more than kind of Doctor Strange level of sorcery. It's how big this book is. So all right, so we're going to start off with what, where, when is why. Okay, what is the Darkhold? Just explained it. It's a book of sorcery, I think. I'm pretty sure. Where is the Darkhold? Wanda has it in her little cottage in the woods, which I've heard speculations, but it might be Sokovia. She might be kind of back in her home. When is the Darkhold? Why is the Dark? Okay, you know, super thing goes out. Okay, but here's the deal. I think the main thing that the Darkhold is going to make an impact in the MCU is in Doctor Strange: Multiverse of Madness. When did that movie come out? When does Doctor Strange 2 come out? March 25th, 2022. Okay, hey, guys, we're under a year. Look at that. Yeah, we're like 350 days. Yes. No, we're like 359 days. I can do math, I promise. Anyway, I think this book is going to make a very big impact in that Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness movie, which I think could possibly make Wanda the portrayed antagonist of it, because if she, maybe, like, Doctor Strange really wants that book, not necessarily for himself to learn more magic, but just to, just to make sure it's not in the wrong hands, I guess, because I feel like that's something Doctor Strange would definitely do and say. And yeah, so I say Strange wants it, I would presume. But the big thing that was the talk of WandaVision, that saying it could come, that would have came in WandaVision, but didn't, the theories were wrong, is the appearance of Mephisto, okay? Now, Mephisto is a comics villain that is like a fire demon. It's super hard to explain if you don't know what he looks like. You can, like, if you listen to a phone, like, hit home screen and search up Mephisto Marvel or something, and it'll show up, okay? So, there's one thing at the end of WandaVision where she was going through the Darkhold that I think makes a pretty big impact on Mephisto and the Marvel Universe in general, okay? So, in the end, as she's studying it, you hear the screams of her two children, Tommy and Billy, which Wanda did actually just have to sacrifice, okay, because she knew that she had to put the hex to an end, so she sacrificed her chitlins and her husband, okay, so they're all done. But you hear their screams, kind of, I don't know if it's somewhere in the background, it's not like her kids are there, but there was one point, not in the MCU, but in the comics, guys, okay, MCU is Marvel Cinematic Universe. I don't know why I didn't think of this. I'm a big MCU fan. I'm not a super big comic. I was never a big comics guy, but I'm very big movies. Anyway, good point. So in the comics at one point, this is weird if you don't super know what I'm talking about, but Tommy and Billy were at one point a part of this god Mephisto. And the art was like drawn so that it was Mephisto and his two hands like sticking out, his like there's arms and his hands were Billy and Tommy. And those and like his hands were their bodies. So I think, and I learned this from a friend actually, going back to school, I actually get to talk. He's actually Matt, he's on the show a couple episodes ago. He was saying that like she could have flipped to the page of Mephisto. So maybe Mephisto's like the biggest, baddest, like evil fire sorcerer of all of them. And she turned to that page, and now Mephisto has like some maybe souls or something of Tommy and Billy. It's kind of what I mean by this. So I think he can probably it's reaching kind of far, but those screams could mean that they're just kind of echoing in her head, like she can't forget it, or it means they're part of Mephisto and that he is coming, guys. That's gonna be awesome. All right, well, we're done with the three segments. It's time to read an article, but this one's going a little long, so I probably won't do a lot of it. We'll just skim through it, though. We're gonna be reading Falcon and the Winter Soldier Episode 2 Intel Report Marvel. Stay tuned for that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we wrap it up today and wrap up everything MCU, number 16, we're going to read the article at Marvel.com, guys. This will be the fourth link in the description of the episode, okay? And it'll be the link closest to the words article, okay? All right. Sam Wilson and Bucky Barnes meet John Walker, the newly appointed Captain America, in the latest episode now streaming on Disney Plus. All right, here we go. Objective. Can you accept what I did? Can you accept that I did what I thought was right? Following the reveal that the Department of Defense has named a new Captain America in the premiere episode, The World Order, which is episode one, Sam Wilson and Bucky Barnes have finally come together in Marvel Studios of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. In episode 2, the Star Spangled Man, while Bucky wants to argue about Sam's decision to give up Cap's shield, which has now been given to John Walker, the newly appointed Captain America. Okay, not really. Anyway, Sam makes it clear that he is not in the mood for a reunion. He's got bigger things to deal with at the moment. What could possibly be bigger than this? According to Sam, figuring out if the latest threat in Central Europe is one of the big three: androids, aliens, or wizards. Okay, anyway. All right, so, read on to discover some notable highlights from our intel report below. Where are we off to? Who are the latest key players? What do we know so far? Read the latest intel report to find out. All right. Government-appointed operatives. John Walker, Sergeant Major Lamar Hoskins, First Lieutenant Joaquin Torres. He's the kind of soldier. Dr. Christina Rayner and Global Respiration Council. Known hostiles. Okay, the Flag Smashers, Power Broker, and Zemo. Okay, that's what we know. Unknown persons of interest. Isaiah Bradley and Eli Bradley. Okay, those were the super soldiers that they met. Locations, Custer Groves High School, Georgia, Military Hangar, Munich, Germany, I did not say that right, Baltimore, Maryland, and Slovakia, nope, whatever. Research log, subject John Walker, the new government-sanctioned Captain America. Just a week ago, U.S. Captain John Walker was prepping for a special ops mission in Chile, while his best friend, Sergeant Major Lamar Hoskins, the next he's been named the new Captain America. During the celebration rally at his old high school stomping grounds, John Walker's Captain America runs across the football field along to the marching band playing a modern rendition of Star Spangled Man. Ah, that's interesting. First introduced in Marvel Studios, Captain America the First Avenger. Good morning, America. Sarah Haynes introduces the world to our new hero, the one suited for the times we're in. While John Walker may be humble, Sarah shares his impressive resume to explain why he is the right man for the job. First person in American history to receive 3 Medals of Honor. Ran RS-1 missions in counterterrorism and hostage rescue. Government study of his body at MIT revealed he tested off the charts in every measurable category, speed, endurance, intelligence, and jumped on a grenade 4 times, which is a whole 3 more times than real Captain America did. Okay. While Walker never met the previous Captain America, Steve Rogers, he regards him like a brother. I did like these bunny ear fingers. He has modeled his own career very closely after Rogers. He doesn't have the flashiest gadgets like the late Tony Stark or super strength like Dr. Bruce Banner. Not whatever. But one thing he shares with Steve Rogers is guts. Rogers had the ability to make people feel safe and to give hope, and it would be the greatest honor of his life to be the same for others. Walker realizes he has large shoes to fill, and he has his best friend reminds him this is a job. The suit comes with a lot of expectations, brother. You can't just punch your way out of problems anymore. Black Widow said that to Captain America once, right? Yeah, totally did. Big 3, androids, aliens, wizards. Sam Wilson explains to Bucky Barnes that it broke his heart when he saw John Walker paraded around and called the new Captain America, but there are more pressing things that require his attention. Showing a video of First Lieutenant Torres' firsthand run with the online rebel organization, the Flag Smashers, Wilson explains he's on his way to Munich. Oh gosh, it's gonna be bad. Okay, let's skip forward. One World, One People. The Flag Smashers, who operate underground, are able to travel due to the goodwill of the people. Refugees who were displaced by the return regard the rebels as freedom fighters who are pushing back against the system. Two people who absolutely have no love for Carly and the Flag Smashers. In Interpol, who just released a wanted notice on the group, and an unknown person who texted Carly with the threat, "You took what was mine, I'm going to find you and kill you." Yikes. Carly and the group do not regard themselves as bad guys. Their mission, One World, One Peace, is to get things back to the way things were done during the blip. However, they're no longer playing. They cannot let those who were put back in power after the blip win, and it's clear the GRC is more concerned about those who came back and not the ones who never left. Interesting. Okay, well, not a lot here. Anyway, guys, if you want to read the rest of the article, it's going to be a link in the description. But guys, it's going to wrap it up. That was a nice long episode. Thank you very much for listening. It was a good one. I had a lot of fun recording it. Quick reminder, got website, link number 1. Want to take time out of your day to visit that? That'd mean a lot. All right, live stream, next one, April 10th. Okay, April 10th, 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. It's link number 2. Be sure to tune into that. Also, DMP, got the Denim Mifflin Pod with my sister. It's link number 3. It'd be cool if you check that out. Don't forget to be awesome. Love you guys, and I'll see you all in the very next episode. Peace. This episode is brought to you by Anchor FM. If you'd like to make a podcast easily and fun, visit www.anchor.fm or download their free app on Google Play or the App Store. This podcast is legally owned by the creator and shared and distributed by Anchor FM. Listen anywhere you want easily and for free. Thank you and have a nice day.